welcome again to Taking a Stand podcast.
This week will be part two of our podcast on resources for teens. Last time we spoke to Judy Harvey, who leads the Next Generation Ministries at Fellowship. Today we will be speaking with Derek and Lauren Hodney, who have long been involved in our youth group, and they also serve and work at Camp Orchard Hill. They are also parents of children who are right at that transition period between being young kids and early teenage years.
Yep. So with that said, here's our interview with Derek and Lauren Hodney. Okay. So tonight we have with us Derek and Lauren Hodney. And as you know, we're doing these interviews right now with to try to hit some different age groups. And right now we're working on the teenage group. And Derek and Lauren are actually a very unique couple because they're like I don't know, they hit all the bases. They have experience with, they have their own teens. They volunteer with the youth group and are leaders within the youth group. They also help with and run a camp and have done that for pretty much your whole entire life. As far as as much as I can remember, I remember meeting you when I went to Camp Orchard Hill, and that's for meeting both of you guys, and it was like the love story.
sweet.
Yeah, like you go to camp and it'd be like, oh, Derek and Lauren, and they're dating, and it was so romantic.
Were we still dating? You met us when we were still dating. Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is a long time ago.
The talk of the camp. So
we've lost a little bit of interest.
We're
not as relevant anymore.
Yeah, you guys just have a lot of, I believe, wisdom from a lot of different angles. And so we're just really thankful that you could come and take the time to meet with us tonight. And we could discuss just a couple questions and kind of pick your brain about your experience as well. But with that said, could you just maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and give us a little insight into your lives?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. We were having to, add up some years when you asked us, like said, okay, you'll introduce yourself. So we figured out that we've been married for 19 years, which is, when you add in the dating, I think, that brings it to about 24 or 25 years.
Yeah.
So, feels like a long time, but quick too. So our kids are Gabby and Ben, and, we are parents to a teenager now, but a new teenager. So we're just learning the ropes too as parents. Yeah. Gabby is 13, almost 14, and Ben is 10. Mm-hmm. You want to say anything else?
We did meet at camp when we were teenagers, have served here at Camp Orchard Hill now for the last 15 years in a full-time capacity, and previous to that, part-time and seasonally, for about 10 years when we were teenagers, before that. So it has been the majority of our lives, we've been, connected with camp, and because even as campers before that, and when my dad was a director here, living here at camp as well. And that's part of what we'll, I think, share later too, is the environment, how important the environment here has been for our kids and for raising our kids. Mm. So,
When we returned to work at Camp Orchard Hill full time, we kind of automatically went to Fellowship Church, just based on, family history and that was home for Derek. So many people, knew his family and he grew up there. So it was kind of an automatic decision, but we were very thankful and have been very thankful along through the years for the influence that Fellowship has had in our lives, the impact. So we have attended Fellowship Church and always been really blessed by the community there and the teaching and just the full experience. So.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for sharing that with us. So I guess we'll just jump right in with some questions.
Sure.
So I know that you said, Gabby is like a younger teen. And so I guess it seems as though the teen years are an age where your kids aren't really children anymore, but yet they're not really adults. This transition alone seems to have challenges apart from adding in society's pressures. So would you mind sharing some of what this transition has looked like for you and your children? And has it seemed easy or difficult for you?
Yeah.
So far.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I think it's been awesome. I think we have said, especially over this last year, that's been so strange and all of our normal routines have been so different that our kids have like turned back to bless us already. They're so fun. They're very thoughtful and they are, you know, wonderful kids. Like we just really enjoy spending time with them. So this year has been fun. We've had more time probably to spend with them than normal. And it's been really nice. So we're enjoying it so far. We are just a year or two in, so we'll see how things go, but I just anticipate, you know, that it's going to be great. So we're enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely. And it is, it's fun as each of them gets older, being able to, just connect and relate in newer ways. I mean, even something as simple as, you know, getting Dunkin' together and having a Dunkin' order, you know, like now that as they get older, yeah. You know, it's just a fun part of the, like a next, you know, next stage or next level here.
Yeah. And being able to celebrate as they're emerging into just their own individual gifts that God has given them. It's been really fun. I mean, that's a great part of parenting from, you know, babies all the way up is watching them, you know, learn new things and watching them emerge as the individuals that they are. And so this is a fun age to watch them, you know, start to develop, you know, new skills out in the world and also grow in their spiritual lives. And to be able to celebrate that with them is, you know, just really rewarding as parents and fun. And the grocery bill is getting very expensive. So I don't know if that's them getting older and eating more or if it's just Corona and us all, you know, just eating a lot of snacks, but the grocery bill is much higher. So,
well, you know, as Sarah mentioned before, and you know, you've already explained a little bit about, but, you know, you guys are in a unique position to, you know, have young teenagers, but also you work a lot with teens, you know, and I'm thinking that that may give you maybe a more unique insight into what might be going on during teen lives and in their minds. And so, you know, we're just wondering, how do the questions about our faith change as children transition from, you know, being young kids to being more independent or semi-independent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it really isn't that huge a transition for us. We just have a lot of conversations and that's always been true. So it's the topics and the depth, which we explain things. I think it's always been really important to us to, that there's nothing really off limits. So as they've gotten older, it's just really a matter of like how we explain things, what words we use, and hopefully we're building off of the foundation we've laid down for them in explaining things as smaller kids, that we're just giving them more information now as they're older. So I was thinking about like a pretty important conversation that we had with Gabby when she was really little about a headstone in a cemetery. And she was curious about the whole cemetery and like, what is that place and what is going on in that? You know, like she just was observing it. And I explained to her, like, I wanted her to know, even at that young age, the truth about like our physical body and how it's just a shell and it's left behind when we die. And we at that time didn't know anybody that was special to her or important to her that had passed away. So this was kind of like one of the first times we talked about that. But I didn't want to shelter her from that idea that we are just here for a brief time. And then our eternal spirit, you know, we have to choose whether we're going to be with Jesus or be away from Jesus. So that was the conversation. It led to like a prayer of salvation for her. That was like, you know, a big moment when she was about six. And then fast forward to this past 2 years, we've had a friend, a young friend that passed away. And it was just, you know, really sad and really disappointing. And we prayed, you know, desperately that God would heal her. And so we were free to share with them, you know, why does God allow suffering? How could there still be hope even though she passed away? And let them know, let them see that we were sad and that we were disappointed that she passed away. And so I feel like, you know, like I said, just building on conversations from when they're young to when they're older and giving them more information at this age, of course. So yeah, I don't feel like it's a huge transition. Probably something I was scared about, you know, how are we gonna talk to our teenagers? But really it just, you know, keeps going. It's just a foundation that you build on. So
I think a great challenge and a great victory is independent faith decisions. That like, that's, I've always thought that's a value of camp and why we continue to do, you know, what we do here is camp, at camp, even we see it at youth group as well. And it's our desire in our home as well. As kids grow into the teenage years, they start to make independent faith decisions, and that's scary, you know, but at the same time, like the value and the reward and the just excitement of seeing kids blossom and grow and make faith decisions to follow Jesus is just, it's such a blessing to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you see kids decide, teenagers decide to walk away from the faith. It's, you know, just painful and sad, but you know, at the same time, you know, it just challenges us and reminds us to continue to pray for them, knowing that it's not in our hands. We're not the ones who create those, you know, their faith and we're, you know, at the same time, not responsible for them, you know, to make those decisions for them. So, I think it's that balance is difficult yet exciting and rewarding.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, at, TNT, Derek was saying that, you know, it's so encouraging and so powerful when you see a teenager like stand on truth and say yes, yes to Jesus. And so, yeah, 100 times over, we've been like personally deeply encouraged by the faith of a student and the faith of our own kids. So they turn back and bless you, you know, like it's they do that all the time. So.
That's really encouraging. So yeah, thank you for sharing all that. Cause I think there's like a freedom that comes with what you just shared that as when you're raising young children, I think you start looking down the road and thinking that you have to do very specific things at very specific times and wait for those times to hit. Like now is the time I need to do it. And so just realizing how much and seeing your example and how it's actually coming to fruition right now, that what you poured into your children when they were younger is now, it's just natural, this conversation that just continues now that they're older. So that's really just encouraging to see how kind of freedom that seems to come with that a little bit. And then also along with that, you talk about making these like faith decisions, and I don't know if you're going to say it later. I'm not sure, but I know I shared with you, Lauren, when Ben made the decision not too long ago to be baptized. Like that was, we were so praising God with you guys. I was we were there in church and I started crying and I look over at Adam and Adam's crying and yeah.
we were crying,
I'm sure. And your whole family was crying. And our whole church was crying. It's just it was really moving just to see such a young person make such a big statement and to feel that confident in the Lord and what the Lord has done for him. And that's just like our prayer for our own children as well. And so it's just, that was an encouragement as well.
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, we were just as moved in that moment, of God's faithfulness to allow that to come to be, because that's not a result of us being like, oh, we're such tremendous parents. We've done everything right. And here's our product. That was God working in his heart and maturing him spiritually, in a way that surprised us, like, oh, look what's happening. And it's absolutely, you know, God does the work. God calls, you know, children to himself. And we as parents, you know, we get to influence them. We have that privilege. They will be shaped by our homes, but it's not us, it's God. It's his work. And so, yeah, it's fun to watch them emerge and dream of like, oh, what's God going to do with that heart, like that he's captured for himself. So yeah, there's always hard days as parents, and there's a lot of hard days in the toddler years. You know, every day is so physical and so much work. And so, you know, but there's rewards all the time too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. As much as there's a lot of work, I tell Adam all the time, like, I just try to like take this moment and know that this is only a short time that I have with my children at this age. Yeah. And I want to cherish it. You know, I want to cherish each moment. And so, but yeah, thank you. So then just as we've been doing a lot of researching and speaking on some of these topics, it does seem like there's a lot of challenges to kids' faith that we don't remember having to face when we were younger. Of course, each child's experience is going to be dependent on a lot of factors, but in general, do you see certain challenges that preteens or younger teens face today that you didn't have to face at that age? Or are there questions or ideas that seem more prevalent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think more than anything, we would say the challenge of technology and phones. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche, like you could blame everything on technology. But the thing that makes it so challenging, I think, is that it's whatever's out there in the world, like all those, you know, negative influences and the, you know, secular culture and even the evil that's out there in the world, it's piped right into your home if you allow it. And so, you know, even like I've seen in community, you know, conversations like out in the secular community, moms saying like TikTok has ruined my kid, or, you know, it's, you know, Snapchat is so filthy and dangerous. And so it's not just, you know, Christian parents who are dealing with this, it's all parents. And so we've just kind of said, like, I guess just realized we care about biblical truth. That's a given. But if we care about it, then we really need to have some intentional decisions on technology and how we're going to manage that as parents of teenagers, because it's sort of like an assault on them, on us, on all of us. And as adults, hopefully we learn to manage it and to balance it and to have some discipline, whether we're doing a good job with that or not. But for teenagers, I think it's a real challenge to help them figure that out and put it in its right place. Mm-hmm. And also to help them filter it, because it's completely unfiltered. Mm-hmm. And so you know, you could be trying as a parent to influence them with truth, And if they're online all the time, they are absolutely receiving garbage all the time. So you really have to decide what sources you're going to allow.
And clear boundaries. You know, it's like, I mean, on a practical level, it's like, well, whether you provide the technology or not, because they can't afford some of it. So if you don't buy it for them, then they don't have it. But also where and when it's, you know, it's used. You know, kind of like you said, setting some of those boundaries for ourselves as well. And sometimes we'll do well with that. Sometimes we it's that examination, like kind of a, whether it's daily or weekly or monthly examination, and to say where are we at with this? Have we drifted? I mean, it's been really, honestly, really tough during like COVID, because like
there's nothing else,
so much on yeah, like, you know, and you couldn't go anywhere, and they have to be on computers for school or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's a challenge. And I think another thing alongside that, that comes with it, for teenagers, and beyond teenage years as well. One of our speakers here once mentioned, you know, that when you have, whether it's, you know, the internet at your fingertips or whatever, it's like, in a sense, you can be all places, you know, anywhere. And you can kind of like know all things, like, you know, there's knowledge, you know, and you hear about things that are happening across the world or wherever, you know, there's just, and it's a barrage. And like the, we weren't made or meant to handle knowing all things and being all places. That's what God is. God knows all things. God's everywhere. God's all powerful, and we're not. And so when that kind of burden is placed on us, we're not made for that. We're made for proximity, and we're made for being close to one another and in relationship, you know, personal relationship with God, with our kids, with friends, with family. And so the anxiety that comes from bearing that burden, we see that in teenagers. And like on the flip side, when they don't have their phones or their technology, or when we step away from it, we see the release and the relief. It's usually a hard break for a little while. But the benefit of stepping away from it.
Yeah. Like the fog starts to lift and you can be with people again.
Yeah.
I think originally that we, as in our home, and as parents, thought that the best plan for technology would be just lock it down. Like we had one computer, one laptop, and we just didn't really have access in our home to I didn't want my kids Googling stuff, and that's a whole topic in itself. But this year has changed. It has challenged us to like come up with some other plan, because now they're getting older. So this probably would have come up anyway, but based on, you know, with virtual learning and everything like that, they were like literally handed their own computers, you know, and told, this is what you're going to do this year, is be on this computer. And that caused, it challenged us to like rise to the occasion as parents, like, okay, we can't just avoid this completely. We're going to have to face it. And we're right in the middle of this. So like we've had date nights, you know, that are just focused on researching, like how we're going to handle technology.
Romance at its best.
I mean, so, we want to do a good job in this area. And previously we thought we could just skip it, and that would be a great answer, but now we're being much more challenged to face it. And like I said, you know, it can be redeemed. Like the technology can be awesome, and we have lots of great things on the, you know, either on the computer, or like apps that are really helpful and stuff like that. A lot of the teenagers at TNT love YouVersion, and you know, they're reading the Bible on an app, and I think that's awesome. They're, it's almost like a social media connection. They're able to talk with each other about Bible studies and things like that. And so, it's a really great resource. Mm-hmm. And so there, I'm not saying that technology can't be redeemed. It just is a challenge for parenting. We have to have a strategy, we've realized. So if we want our kids not to be, receiving unfiltered junk all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I resonate with that. And I think we all do in our generation, because when we were younger, there was no internet. You know, we were the generation that told our parents what this thing was. And so like now it's sort of coming back and we understand it. And even as adults, like we have a hard time deciphering what's true in what we can access. I mean, Sarah and I use YouTube a lot to do a lot of research because it's, you know, easier to watch something than to read something, especially when you have to do it in snippets. But there's a lot of stuff on there that just like, is this true? Is this not true? A lot of it's garbage. But then to your point, Derek, there's a ton of things like you can't possibly watch or read everything that may be interesting to you to and valuable in a sense, because it's just so prolific. And, you know, trying to navigate that is a challenge even for us. I can't imagine for a teenager. And, but, you know, the sentiment is true that they're going to get older. It, you know, they're going to be faced with this stuff. It's, technology is not going away.
Exactly.
So rather handle it while we have, I guess, influence and can teach them the right way to discern it than letting them just sort of find out 5 years from now, oh, all this stuff is out there, you know? Right. So.
Yeah.
Was thinking too, when you were saying that, that, you know, we've been talking a lot about postmodernism and moral relativity and stuff like that. And it's just crazy that like all these thoughts enter into our society, and then you have social media and all this type of communication that enters at the same time. So it's like this perfect storm of define whatever you want reality to be, and poof, it's there. You could find whatever you want and make it true. And yeah, so it's a lot to kind of keep that in check. And
everybody has a platform. And so just like the loudest voices seem to be winning, you know? And so, yeah, it just makes it important for us to be speaking to our kids intentionally. Mm-hmm. And also filtering for them. You know, we're not shy about, you know, we're pretty strict on what we have allowed at this point, technology wise, and we're growing, we're figuring it out.
Well, you know, another thing that we think about as parents is, you know, the future of our children's lives. And, you know, a lot of what we talk about with this postmodern culture is it continues to seemingly get worse and worse in a way, or harder and harder to actually be a believer in the world. And, you know, so we're just wondering, you know, are there fears that you might have for your children for living in this culture? And, you know, if so, how do you as parents manage that in yourselves?
I mean, with the caveat that we do realize that we asked a question that is like, well, of course we have fears. Like, I think every parent has a crazy amount of fears for their children, but in regard to this topic and I guess what's going on in the world and stuff.
Yeah, I think definitely. I'm probably more prone to fear than Derek. But it's nice to balance because I can speak them out loud and Derek is usually much more practical and helps turn that fear into maybe taking a step forward. Like, how can we progress in this area? How can we guard our family? You know, just something practical to turn it into, you know, something helpful. I definitely fear for my kids. When you see what's out there, it's hard to process as an adult. And then you, like you were saying, you know, how do kids process it? How do teenagers process it? And I guess they relate a lot to, you know, that we wouldn't be preparing them well, that we wouldn't, you know, that we would, you know, that they would walk away from the truth as a result of something that we've done or not done. Right. So, but I was also thinking, that a lot of times the fear is related to, like Pastor Mark was preaching on inward and outward purity this weekend and just caring about the external. We immediately were thinking about the questions you had asked us and how it relates to parenting, because, early on when Gabby was really young, we did a Sunday school class, at Fellowship that had content from Paul Tripp, and it was kind of like old school content, but I know he's like updated a lot of his stuff, but we took it when it was like super old school. He was wearing a turtleneck. So, that's memorable to me, I guess. but he talked about, apple nailing, and this just really like stuck with us as parents, that, you know, you could have an apple tree that's withered and dying. And you could make it look nice by nailing polished, you know, shiny apples to it. And it will look good for a little while, but that eventually the apples will rot and it will still be a dying, you know, withering apple tree. And that it relates to parenting, and that you can usually get your kids to obey or do what you want or look good on the outside for a period of time, but it's not really of value to them. It will rot. And what we really want to be after as parents is the internal heart change and like winning them for Jesus. And so I think the fear is often because I want to look good as a parent. You know, I'm worried, what will it be like if my kids don't choose Jesus? How will that feel? You know, as a parent, I would be so sad, but also like I would be a failure as a parent, as a Christian parent, you know? And so I think it's like a lack of trust, which fear always is, but it's really something like that I need to confess. Like I do struggle with fear. And to turn it back over to him and, you know, just let God do his work and let him do his work in me so that I can be a good parent, and then let him do his work in my kids so that they would be transformed from the inside out, and not just like they know their Bible verses and they can, I was laughing like that they can, you know, win at, you know, sword drills and, you know, just like all the things that would prove that they know truth and they're, you know, good kids. That's what I kind of want sometimes, but it's not really the lasting impact. So.
And that fear, I mean, to combat it with prayer is, you know, it's imperative, necessary, whatever word you want to use, you know, but like, and we're, you know, blessed to have praying parents ourselves, grandparents that pray for our children. We know that they pray for our children, and we see the effects of that, because we know, you know, we know that they, like we've, the mistakes that we've made, or, you know, the, you know, as you look back, you're like, oh, I wish I had done that differently. But we know that mm-hmm. prayer, it changes, you know, changes us. It changes, our children. It's protective. It's,
I think it reminds us of the right priorities again, to commit them back to prayer, you know, in prayer, back to God, mm-hmm. When we have the fear. Yeah. So,
I've been listening to a lot of interviews lately with Elisa Childers does a podcast, and lately she's been doing a lot of interviews with people who are progressive, who fell into progressive Christianity and then now have come out of it. And it's really interesting to listen to their stories, because a lot of them are like, they tell about their childhood and they're like, they hit all the boxes. They were the apples that were attached to their tree that you just explained. Like they had, you know, they all claimed that they, you know, were baptized at a very young age, accepted Christ, were in a good church, like all this stuff. But then it got to a point where they just realized that none of it had affected their hearts at all. Like they just hadn't had that real relationship. And so like what you're saying is like, that's more what you're concerned about, is you're more concerned about making this real in their hearts and having those real conversations and making this like part of every day, not just like going to church, memorizing the verses and stuff like that. So that's really encouraging. And then something I've just been thinking about lately is I think where we are in the world right now and some of these challenges keeps me in just this constant state of surrender. Like, because I get nervous. I feel this like anxiety build. And then I'm like, oh yeah. Like it just is like this constant reminder. I just need to keep what I'm should have been doing the whole entire time, but it's just a reminder to keep giving it back to God, because you can't hold it for that long without going crazy. So kind of a good thing in that regard, because that's right. What we really should be. We really should be in that state, but I think we just get so comfortable a lot of times. So,
yeah. And I think too, you know, that we want our kids to know truth and we want to prepare them ahead of time. And sometimes we do a good job and sometimes we're not doing a great job, but ultimately, you know, that is what we're aiming for, that they would, you know, be the kid who goes to college and understands that what they're hearing isn't true or whatever. Like I want that for them. But at the same time, I feel like if we were to focus just on that, we would lose a lot. Like, you know, Derek was saying, as we were preparing, you know, that we want to be relational parents. We don't want to be agenda parents. You know, we want to be caring for our kids, for their hearts and, wrapping them into relationship. I feel like you probably speak to this even more than I do, because it's so important to you.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's our relational like philosophy of ministry at camp. You know, God made us for relationship with him. He wants a relationship with us. And then he made, you know, man for relationship with each other. And then, I mean, he created family, you know, and he, that the everyday walking and talking with the kids, sharing experiences, it's quality time, but it's the quantity of time that you spend together too. It's, mm-hmm. it's just important to be there, you know, so that when the questions arise, yeah. when the situations, are faced, you know, to be there and to bring them along with us. I mean, we're, one of the coolest things, and it's sad that we've kind of lost it through COVID here, but like Gabby would come with me on Tuesday afternoons. We would go do an after school program in Wilkes-Barre, and she started connecting and building relationships with those kids. And then, I mean, at camp, I love the gift that we have of surrounding our kids with, you know, young people like college age students who are funny and cool and love Jesus, like, and who care about them. Like, that's like a unicorn to some people. They're like, does those people exist? You know, but they do. They're here, and they're influencing our kids and loving our kids. And the, you know, whether it be the homeless program at, you know, at camp or wherever, you, when you bring them along with you, and when you know, you spend time with them at their things, and then you just you're building a bridge so that when those conversations need to be had, you know, you've built up credibility, you know, or deposits or whatever you want to call it, you know, you've made those connections, investments. Yeah. And then, you know, those conversations are not just like, you know, putting out fires and things like that. It's just, it's part of every day.
Yeah. That's all great. Yeah. So I was thinking like the truth is important. Mm-hmm. Communicating the truth is important, but how you're doing it is really important too. Mm-hmm. Teenagers hate lectures, you know, they don't want to be in school. They don't want to feel like they're being I guess, you know, preached at or lectured. And so, you know, I guess we're trying to present truth in a relational way with our own kids. And then even, you know, in our, in youth group, I would say that's, you know, the effort as well. And certainly at camp. So to come alongside them and discover it with them, not force it on them, I guess.
Yeah. That's really great. It's really wise actually what you just said, because I think as parents, we probably have the tendency that like when your child asks you a question about faith, you kind of get like all excited and you're like, yeah, here's my chance to like give them all these books. And like, I've been waiting for this moment to explain this whole theological concept to them. And in reality, they probably aren't ready to hear all that. And that's not what they're asking for. So just being like, that's really wise that you kind of have picked that up, that you are sensitive to that. So
sure. But we've laughed about that 1 million times because, you know, the kids will ask a question when they were younger, really. And, you know, we'd be at the dinner table and we're like, yes, this is so beautiful. I'm going to present this, like, you know, and you're like pouring out your heart. This always happens. I'm super emotional. So I'm like, you know, pouring out to them and they're, you know, Ben's like throwing his food and, you know, choking, and, you know, Gabby's done and left the table, and, you know, everybody just wants dessert. Like nobody cares about what I'm saying, you know? So, life is happening when you're a parent, regardless of whether you're trying to present truth or not. And so I think there's just like this faithfulness in those younger years to just keep doing it. Like, don't stop pouring out your theological excitement, you know, Sarah, keep doing it, because they do just want a cookie right now, but they're probably listening a little bit, you know? So
later on, they'll want some meat.
Yeah.
Oh, that? I said they want a cookie now, but later on they'll want some meat.
Right. Along those, that same line, I guess, are there any resources or tools that you use or that you've seen to really help explain certain ideas well? Or are there activities that you do with your children to reinforce some of these concepts?
Yeah, we definitely have some fun ones. So this is, you know, classic. I betcha, you know, every parent at Fellowship Church has been given this Bible or encouraged to read it, but I just don't think we can skip it because it is foundational for our family. Like I was wondering when it was published, I feel so blessed because I think it probably came out right before Gabby was, ready, you know, for 2007, that is the year she was born. So this has been a source of truth for our family since Gabby was a baby. So, and we, you asked about like some traditions or some common habits that our family has. We used the Jesus Storybook Bible every Christmas for the nativity. We had the little, you know, cutouts and we laminated them and we put them on a little tree and we would read the stories straight through. And, I just feel like year after year after year of the same tradition and hearing the same stories and the same concepts, I betcha that has been, you know, a huge part of their foundation. And I just think it's done beautifully. I always say that it's beautiful because it's the gospel. And the tagline of the Bible is every story whispers his name, the name of Jesus. And I just think that if we could, there's so many Bible stories, you know, they do VeggieTales, they do all these Bible stories, but even as adults, until you put some effort in, they're just disjointed stories, but you can read through the entire story of God from creation, you know, to his rescue plan with Jesus and understand the big picture, even in, you know, a simpler terms. So I tell teenagers to read this. Like, I just love it and feel like it's can make a great impact. So I hope I didn't gush too much about that, but we love the Jesus Storybook Bible.
Yeah, we need that for the future for our children too.
Yeah. The nativity, cutouts and stuff are really useful. we really, really ended up enjoying that. And it became like a regular, like a yearly thing for us. So we loved that.
Where did you get the cutouts for that? Was that just online or something?
Yeah.
It's available through Sally Lloyd Jones. They put it out. Okay. So it's probably like on the website or something. I think I've seen it even on Facebook published a couple times around the Christmas season.
Okay.
As an advent calendar.
An I think advent.
Jesus Storybook Bible advent calendar. Yeah. I think if you Googled it, you'd find it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good one for sure.
I like when it comes to just like the beauty of like creation. I actually like in a nerdy way, like nature shows and stuff like that, you know, but there's one called The Riot and the Dance. So far they're like two episodes in, like hour long episodes, I believe. And then there's a plan for two or three more. But it's called The Riot and the Dance, and it's a show, you know, celebrating creation, but from, creationist point of view. Wow. Because a lot of nature shows are like, we'll celebrate
millions of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's got a biblical perspective and
so well done and so beautiful. Yeah.
And a cool soundtrack.
And so. our kids loved it. We watched that this year on, how do they find it? Like VidAngel?
Yeah, I think it was on VidAngel and it actually was on Amazon too.
So the Riot and the Dance, really beautiful. Okay. So another one that we wanted to say, which seems really silly, but, I mentioned YouVersion, earlier and the Bible app. I think teenagers, certainly in our youth ministry and probably just emerging in culture, tend more towards having the Bible on their phone. And I think that's great. It's one of those ways that technology can be redeemed, you know, to be able to have it right at your fingertips and to be able to have a reading plan and, you know, to challenge your friends and watch people progress in their, you know, streak of reading, and all of that is awesome. And I think anything that gets teenagers reading the Bible is fabulous. I am a little bit of a stickler for a hard copy because I want our kids, and I always, you know, try to get the TLCs, the kids at youth group, to bring their hard copy Bible to Sunday school at least, because I feel like it's really important for, you know, us as parents to give them this precious treasure, like in person, that they can touch it and mark it up and, you know, write notes in the margins and remember when they read a verse and when it was important to them and all of that. And maybe they'll do that digitally, but I just feel like they should connect with an actual Bible. So like I know that Fellowship preaches from, the pastors preach from the ESV version. I think both still have the NIV from like 1984. And so that's just what we have. And that's what we've memorized. So it's precious to us. I'm a stickler for giving, you know, that every teenager should have their own Bible that is, you know, special. And if that, you know, means spending some money on it, like they're not cheap, but, to hand them a Bible and to put their name in it and say like, this is precious. I feel like sometimes we miss that in this current culture. Mm-hmm. And that's okay to have it on the app. You should, you know, if you'll read it, but, give them a Bible. So I know that's a silly resource to mention, but, another really great one, as the kids were young, two kind of sort of media ones, they love to listen to stories. We tried out Adventures in Odyssey. And when the kids were really little, we found it kind of like not appropriate. Like I kept hearing things that I was like, that's too old for them. It's not bad. It's just too old for them. And so Dawn Rittenhouse actually had shared with me The Pond. And I don't know if it's still popular. Do you guys know of The Pond?
We listen to it.
I've heard it.
Oh my gosh.
That's on the radio.
We listen to it on Saturdays if we're driving, just because we're like, well, it's something that it's kind of interesting. Maybe our 2.5-year-old will like get it.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's still popular. I wasn't sure if it was still like kind of out there, but
yeah, it sticks because we know one night Gabby was, how old was she?
She was probably like two or three, tiny.
And
we were talking about like, what is sin? And, you know, probably trying to have one of those like magical moments where we explain everything. And she said, I know what sin is. It's disobeying God either by omission or commission. And we were like, oh my gosh, she's brilliant, you know? But also like, we were like, where did you learn that? Like,
because it wasn't from us.
Because it wasn't from us. Like, we didn't like, teach you that. And we don't know what you're talking about. So it turns out that it was a pond episode. And I don't know who said it, but it stuck. Yeah. So the pond was awesome. And we don't have like any special like speakers to pipe it quietly into their bedrooms. And so it's literally, there's always a story at night blaring in our hallway so they can both hear it at the same time.
On a CD player.
On a CD player. And we feel like we're always like falling asleep to like, you know, these loud stories, but totally worth it because they absorb it and it's good stuff. So Adventures in Odyssey, we feel like was hit home more in the past year for Ben, like, so 8 or 9, I feel like is a better age. And there's still some that we skip just because we don't happen to like them. But, as far as like good wholesome, content, I would say they're enjoying that now.
Torchlighters.
Oh yeah. Torchlighters. Yeah. Go
ahead. The like Voice of the Martyrs puts out, stories of, you know, just kind of whatever, heroes of the faith, you know, martyrs from and throughout history. And so, you know, the animation, they're animated, you know, the cartoons. And now, again, for, you know, age appropriate wise, you know, some of them, I mean, it's about Christians being put to death. And so some of them are a little scarier than others. And so I would, you know, caution that, you know, just know your kids. And feel it out, and you know, but we love, you know, those stories and being able to be encouraged by those and the conversations that start from those.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Learning about people who have, you know, given all for the gospel, is a great conversation starter. Okay. So I also have, these were really awesome resources that we picked up from as a result of TLC Sunday School class. We taught on, so it's J. Warner Wallace, and God's Crime Scene and Cold Case Christianity. And then he also put out a kids version of the same two books. And they are, it's just like a unique style of apologetics. He comes at it from like a detective or like a criminal investigator, to search for the evidence of God's work in the universe and, look at it as a criminal investigator would, to prove it. And then also, you know, in proving like the historicity of Jesus and, you know, the evidence for, intelligent design and, just topics like that, that I really think are important for students, in the classroom in high school and, in college. So, we taught through this, for the teen leadership Sunday school class. And then, it like filtered back into our home. Sarah, one time your mom said that to her, homeschooling was just, she called it enthusing, like whatever you're excited about or enthusiastic about, you know, it doesn't have to be like this professional homeschooling. It's just whatever you're excited about and learning about, your kids will also become excited about and learn about. And that's what happens with this. Like I got really excited about it and enjoyed this topic. And then the kids were able to read along as well. And we had, you know, a million conversations about it at the dinner table. And so it was like a time period where we, as a family, were learning a lot in the area of apologetics. So I would say this is a great resource for teenagers. themselves, that they would be able to read these. And I'm sure parents, if they, you know, could find the time to read along, these would be really, really helpful tools.
Yeah. We actually just did an interview with Judy too. And she mentioned them. I'm glad that you talked a little bit more about them too, because when I saw them on her list, I've been reading up on some J. Warner Wallace. I haven't read The Cold Case Christianity, but that's definitely on my list of really wanting to read. And then I did see that he had the kids stuff. So yes. It is really cool to see that, like, your personal testimony of using it and how it's been really helpful for your family, because I'm pretty excited about that resource. It seemed like a really grabbing type of resource, like grab attention, grab interest, something that is kind of like from a different angle. I mean, I know Lee Strobel did like Case for Christ and stuff from like a journalist aspect. Right. So I thought, like, wow, it's really cool to see this from a detective's standpoint, or a cold case detective.
Yeah. And especially God's Crime Scene, if that's one of the ones that you have read. Just the whole tone of our culture right now, focusing on the science. Mm-hmm. And man, this is the science. Like, you read through it and you're like, God is so amazing, you know, and you want other people to know it. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really encouraging. It's very, like, strengthening. You know, you're standing on something firm when you read it. And so super encouraging. And I think the kids, the teenagers in that class, I think they really liked it. It was 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So, you know, but I think overall it made a great impact, that this curriculum. So, what else were we going to say?
During COVID, an author that we love did a like reading, nightly reading. And that was kind of cool for us to gather around. We just kind of embraced it. It was something that the kids liked first, I think. And then we were like, well, if they like it, let's get on board with this and listen. And so Andrew Peterson, The Wing Feather Saga. Fantasy,
so this is not like, here's your biblical truth. This is like, here's a great resource for Christian families that, you know, have readers that love to read. To be honest, as a mom of a really good reader, two really good readers, very fast readers. This has been a challenge for me, because I don't have time to read ahead of them. And so really the resource that I was going to suggest is Common Sense Media. We rely on it super heavily for evaluating the content of books and movies. And again, just like helping them filter out garbage. There's so much garbage even in books. And so along the way, you know, like I would sit in the library and Gabby would bring me a pile of books like that we were unfamiliar with. And I would just like Common Sense Media all of them to find out the details of whether this could be an appropriate book or not. So really, this isn't so much about teaching them truth, but it's just how to provide like wholesome content for them that is not going to drag them down to that level of like teenage sassiness and, you know, rejecting authority and like, you know, all of that. Like, why give that to them if that's not what you want to produce in them? So we've been really careful with media.
And it's Narnia-esque, you know. Yeah. I mean, we read through the Chronicles of Narnia with them more than once and stuff, but
this was just a new resource, a new author for us, and we really, really enjoyed it. So just wanted to point that one out. Yeah. And then I think that was it. Oh, I was gonna say, like, a plug for church programs. Honestly, you know, a program isn't going to cut it to rely on for like, as parents, we feel like we're responsible for giving truth to our kids. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're also humbled to realize that we need a lot more influences in our kids' lives.
Other voices.
Because we are the parents, and like, they're not always going to want to hear from us. They value other people's voices. So I feel like so thankful for the ministries at Fellowship Church that we have been able to bring our kids to, and people have invested in them. And I just feel so grateful, mm-hmm. For the growth that's come from those ministries. And we, you know, would invite teenagers to come to TNT. Judy, I know the same, like, we would just love to build relationship and invest in teenagers to, you know, offer them truth, biblical truth. So a plug for bringing your kids to church and having them there, making it a priority. Like Derek was saying about, you know, they won't have what you don't buy them. They also can't get a ride where you don't bring them. So, I mean, you just have to help them set their priorities. And we really feel like, that's a great resource for families. So,
yeah, we always say that. We're always just so thankful as well, especially for that support that you don't feel, you know, like you said, you are the primary couple and who's supposed to provide truth, but it's just so nice to just not feel alone sometimes in it, or to have that support system that's so valuable.
And it's interesting, like on the parenting side, yeah, we've worked with teenagers for a long time in a lot of contexts, but when it's your own, you're still clueless. Like, what are we doing? So again, just really helpful to have help,
yeah,
and other people investing. So yeah.
Well, I know that, you know, you guys have given a lot of really great advice and resources, but if there's any, you know, one thing that you could share with parents, you know, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. Probably, I think Derek said this as we were prepping, just to be their primary influence.
Relationship for me. I'm not a philosophical guy, I don't think. To my shame, not like an amazing like reader, like voracious reader or anything, but I do love spending time with my kids and my family, and like I think that, you know, goes a really long way. And it's not fulfilling without the truth, you know, and being able to then pour in the truth. So you need, it's, you know, it's not just relationships, but I think relationships again, give that credibility, and just being present, then you're there for the opportunities, and praying, you're praying for the opportunities ahead of time. And then, you know, when they arise, you know, God, the Spirit guides you with, you know, the words to say, or the times when you not to speak, and just be there to listen and be mm-hmm. there for, and with your kids. And
I think just like taking primary responsibility to be there, main influence. It's super tempting to, when you have toddlers or, you know, later on, you know, just give everybody a phone or a TV and let me relax, you know, and just go off and do your own thing. And I just feel like, just to be with your family and to keep them together and focused on the same things, instead of everyone on their own rabbit trails, and picking up, you know, damaging philosophies along the way, you know, like that's maybe one of the best protections for your family, is just, to be together and to be their main influence. And we are not homeschoolers. We send our kids to the public school system. And we are pretty content with that decision. We prayed over it, and it was, you know, I had some nervousness about it, but as we prayed over it, we really felt like that was what we were supposed to do, and we felt at peace about it. And we have been very happy with our decision. And I think different kids are meant for different things. And so it's not surprising that God would have different plans for different kids. Mm-hmm. And so our kids, you know, God called us to put them in the public school system, and it's been fine. He's guided us in conversation to help them filter things, but to keep them close and to be their main influence, I think definitely something we would say. And then also just to trust God with their heart, because, you know, as we've said over and over, like, it's not about them knowing all the right things and being, you know, perfect and great on the outside. It's really about heart transformation. And that only comes from Christ. Like, we can't accomplish that agenda as parents. We have to allow God to do that work and to mature them and to draw him to themselves, you know, himself. And it takes time and it's messy. There's oatmeal flying while you're doing your best, but, you know, it's that he is faithful and he accomplishes it in his time. So,
that's all really great. Yeah. Really, really encouraging. So thank you for sharing all that. With that said, are there any particular ways that we could be praying for you guys too, as you parent, and any just in your, for your family?
Yeah, we really are, you know, just at the beginning of the teenage years. So in that sense, we're certainly not experts, and we haven't really you know, we certainly haven't made it in that, in that sense. And we're really navigating a lot of the technology decisions right now. We're trying to make our way with that, to pray for wisdom and to have the right timing, to provide freedom at the right moments and the right amount. And we'd love to do a great job with that. And we're working on it right now. So,
and balance always, for us working in the full-time ministry at camp, serving at the church. And, you know, it's just, you always, it's regularly have to make decisions about, boundaries and, you know, what to say no to, what to say yes to. And just, so always wisdom for balance and boundaries, like, is something that we've learned along the way and have to stay committed to, like, seeking God's wisdom for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you mind if I pray for you?
That would be awesome.
Great.
Okay. Dear Jesus, I just praise your name. I praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. And I praise you that you are the one that we get to honor and glorify, and that you are our God. I just thank you for just this opportunity to have this conversation with Derek and Lauren. I thank you that for their encouragement and their wisdom. And I thank you for the ways in which you are speaking into their lives and that you are encouraging them. Jesus, I just pray that you will please help them moving forward. I thank you for the enjoyment that they've been able to have with their children. I pray that that will continue even into what people sometimes call some of the hardest years. I just pray that it won't be hard for them in that sense. I pray that you will help them to continue the conversations that they've had and the trust that they've built, and that they could just have this really sweet time with their children. And I just pray that you will continue to give them wisdom, though, as they do move forward, as Lauren said, and Derek, I'm sure, feels as well, as the conversations that they've had over the social media and the decisions with technology, that it's not like a science all the time. It's not something that's been around forever, and that it's something that they have to make just decisions that are right, and that you give them that guidance. And so I pray that you will just give them very clear answers as to what they should be doing in different circumstances, and help them to trust you in that, Lord. And I pray for just their hearts as far as their family is concerned with balance and the boundaries that they need to make in order to just have that relational aspect in their family that they desire. I pray that you will protect that. I know that that's what you also desire for their family as well, that it will be strong and that it will be whole. And I just pray that you will help them in that endeavor as well, Lord. Just again, thank you for this night and that we could come and just share about these things going on in the world and in our families. And I just pray that you will help those who are listening to be encouraged by this as well. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys. This was definitely really good, and I think will be very helpful to anyone who hears this, and definitely parents in our church. So
yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.